Kings chapter number 19, if you'll please stand in the honor of reading our Father's holy word. I would like to read the first four verses this morning. And the Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, you got 24 hours to live. Verse 3. "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah." Oh, and left his servant there. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And I just say real quickly, Elijah has found himself to be in a very vulnerable time in his life. A time frame we all have gone through in our lives and we will continue to go through in our lives. Let's make sure we hold on to that anchor. Because if we try throwing it away, we're going to be hurting ourselves in the long run. I want to preach this morning on this thought of a vulnerable time. Father in heaven, Father, 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 thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, that nothing catches you by surprise, that you've already factored in everything, and you still decided to save us, that you already know everything that was going to take place and everything that will, and you've already made a way of escape. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you. I want to ask, Lord, real quickly for your blessings upon all the prayer requests and upon each and every one that is gathered here, whether it be those who are here live or those who are tuning in there on the Facebook page, that everyone here will hear exactly what it is that they need from today's sermon. Not one that we want to bring today, but one that we feel is vitally important at this time. And we're asking you, Father, please, for your blessings upon it. Help me, Lord, to say only what needs to be said today. Nothing more, nothing less. In the precious, wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen and amen. You may be seated. To sum up, last week is done. Part of the reason why Sunday is called a weekend is because it begins the week. Look at the calendar. You've got an end on this side. You've got an end on this side. That's what it means. It's not the ending of a week. Sunday is the beginning of a new week. Amen. Hallelujah to that. We've had some wonderful, eye-opening, good night, it's hard to try to gloss it over type of experiences this past week. And just to call a spade, we all have heard a lot of what's taking place. Ours began on Wednesday when an individual suddenly popped back up into Helene's life from a couple of years back, who was nothing but trouble for us. Other situations have occurred. People coming in and throwing their weight around and such. And it hurts. It causes distress in our lives. It makes us feel uneasy. Throws us off balance. Gets us to question things. Gets us to where we want to sit here and say, am I doing the right thing? Did I make a mistake? Should we go back? What about this? How much worse can it get? What this is Satan creating a very vulnerable time in our lives, not just as individuals, but as a church. But I want to say this real quickly. Much as it has hurt, much as I'm the negative person of the bunch, I see a positive in it. With all that's taken place, I do see one positive about it. Satan don't mess with people who aren't trying to do something for God. So when things start going against us, when things start trying to knock us down, when things start getting us to where we want to wave the white flag of surrender, we want to throw in the towel, just keep in mind, it's only happening because Satan wants to stop you. Satan don't like what he's seen taking place here at Faith Baptist Church of Whiting, Indiana. Otherwise, he wouldn't be fighting so hard. He'd let us go on about our merry way, doing business as usual. It worked for him. It wasn't working for God. And now that it's working for God, Satan doesn't want it working. Elijah here has just come off the battle of Mount Carmel, where he challenged the prophets of Baal, whose God will send fire. And when the Lord God sent fire, Elijah slaughtered off 450 of them. And then Elijah prayed for rain. The rain came. The rain came, and then Elijah ran in front of Ahab's chariot. Bible says there at the end of verse 46, and he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That wasn't because he was outrunning Ahab there. Oh, I don't want to get wet. Let me pick up my robe and get running. It wasn't because of that. No. You actually study that out. You're going to find that it was Elijah running as a herald before Ahab for 20 miles, shouting, "The king is coming, the king is coming." This man has brought the nation of Israel onto the brink of revival. And on top of it, one of the wickedest kings of Israel, he is heralding the king is coming, not because he's honoring the man, but because he's honoring the position. He's saying, look, we could still be friends. I know there have been challenges. I know there have been issues. Elijah knew there were challenges. He knew there were issues. He got back there to Jezreel. The king went and did his thing. And Elijah just... ugh. Wow. That was a lot. Man, did you see what God did? Man, God's awesome. God's wonderful. This is great, man. I could be chewing on the leftovers from this one for a while, John. Man, I'm telling you, God did great there on Carmel. And then the rain. 3.5 years, no rain. I'm telling you, that is God right there. Now, who's that? Yes, can I help you? A letter from Jezebel. All right, thank you. Here's a quarter for your efforts. Thank you, whatever. Oh, she's going to kill me. And it takes off running. Did you ever stop to think about why Elijah took off running? The man was already tired in every phase of his life. Spiritually drained from the battle there on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. Physically worn out from running for the last 20 miles. The king is coming, the king is coming. Mentally, that was the last straw for him. Hearing that Jezebel wasn't sending a, hey, congratulations, man, I'm so glad that you did that. You know what, I'm going to forsake the beliefs of my fathers and I'm going to start believing in Jehovah too. No, she did the exact opposite. It broke him. It created a vulnerable time in his life. A vulnerable time that even super Christians will go through. And I know a lot of us, we are excellent at hiding how badly we are hurting. But we do. Yeah, I know some people wear their heart on their sleeve, and others, man, you ain't gonna get them to flinch unless you get them behind closed doors, and then they'll break down and bawl their eyes out. And certainly, a great many have that experience of even that one person you thought for sure they've got your back. The only reason they got your back is because they're finding a good place to stick a knife in it, and they've got a whole kitchen set full in your back. But we're human. It happens. We don't want it to. No one wants it to. But it does. The problem is what we do with that vulnerable time. Elijah, in verse number 3, ended up pushing away the only person. Brother John, do you realize that? With all that he did there on Mount Carmel, with as close as he had the people to revival, he had one convert. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a servant appears to Elijah, and Elijah's sending that servant to go up to the top of the hill, look and see if there's any clouds coming. He does it 8 times. Finally, yeah, there's a cloud coming. They go to Jezreel. They leave Jezreel to Beersheba. And Elijah says, you stay here. I'm going further. And this ain't the going further of Jesus. So he goes a little bit further for us. This is Elijah saying, you're on your own. And we've all been let down by other followers of God. Preachers, pastors, song leaders, Sunday school teachers, deacons. Those guys that sit there on the Amen pew. Some churches call it the spit section because that's where all the spit lands from the hellfire and brimstone preachers. The person who sits all the way in the back, the church treasurer. It happens. We're human. And it hurts. And we can be honest, it hurts. But we're not doing ourselves any favors when we start leaving people behind. We start cutting people out of our lives. Individuals, wholesale, families, whatever the case is, we're not doing ourselves any good. In verse 4, Elijah did the one thing that Satan so desperately wanted for each of us to do. Say, what's that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. He got alone with himself. That's the worst thing we can do. Get off all by ourselves. With ourselves. Because then self starts throwing a pity party. Self starts saying, I could have done it this way instead. Self starts saying, it's my fault. Self starts saying, I know they're blaming me. Self talks a great game. Self wants so desperately to throw this in. Can't do it. Because self only wants to be negative, church. Self says, I'm a failure. I'm no good for nothing. People just patronize me. They don't actually listen to what I got to say. They don't care one bit what I got to say. And I got proof because I saw them laughing at me earlier. We are completely wrong every single time. And with everything Elijah has done up to this point, it'd be understandable when we get here into verse 5 and it says, and he lay down and slept. Because the boy's tired. He's slap wore out. But tiredness is also a sign of depression. We want to sleep to avoid the problems. We want to sleep to avoid people. We want to sleep so that we're not seeing God trying to help us any. We avoid His Word. We numb ourselves by turning on the television, video games. Just having to clean the house right now when we need in that book right there desperately. That's still us sleeping because we're making ourselves numb to God and His call to us. And Satan's just sitting here saying, here's the towel. Go ahead and throw it in. Go right here. Throw it in. He slept. All that he'd done. He decided now was the time to just lay down and die. Because loyalty and the lack thereof, they have a great and terrible effect on the human psyche. They convince us things are worse than they appear. That we've already had our best days and they will never ever get any better. You know, his methods for serving God were questioned all the way back in chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He came back into the land, he met Obadiah, and Obadiah's like, hast thou not heard what I've been doing? Ahab's been hunting you, but I've been hiding 100 prophets. I've been paying to feed them, to give them water out of my own pocket. You think you're doing something? What have you been doing, Elijah, except hiding the last 3 years? You ain't done nothing. How many people outside those doors? You all ain't done nothing in how long? You think you're so good, you're just hiding in that church right there. Oh, you're hiding. You're playing church. You ain't nothing. Even his ministry was compared to another. Told that he'd been failing time after time after time. And then he meets Ahab. What does Ahab do? Starts blaming him. This is your fault. The reason we ain't had rain the last 3 years, that's because of you, Elijah. Everything that's gone wrong, Elijah, is because of you. And the world sits there and tells us the exact same thing. Everything that's gone wrong in your life is because of you. Everything that's going wrong in church is because of you. Oh, you made the wrong decisions over here. That's why you got problems. Oh, you ain't been trusting in your God like you're supposed to. And the world just sits there chewing on our ears. Just letting us know how good we aren't. Of course, wasn't it Paul who said, oh, wretched man that I am? Paul tells us how we're supposed to already be thinking. If we're already thinking ourselves down there in dirt level, the world can't put us no lower. But Christ can raise us up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I believe that was Peter who said that. But there's Elijah. He's running. He's running from what Jezebel said. He's running from what Obadiah said. He's running. Can I really run? I thought I threw this in. He's running from a letter. No, I just can't. Just ain't. It's back again. So what does he do? It's under a juniper tree. I'm not going to tell you everything about the juniper tree today. Suffice it to say, next to the cross of Calvary, it is the most beautiful tree in the Bible. But I will tell you this. The juniper tree has a very special root system. It stabilizes shifting sand. He got under the juniper tree and said, I just can't. But God said, yeah, you can, because I brought you here to stabilize you. The Bible's very specific. He came here in verse, what was it, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Very specifically, verse 5, and he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And any time the Bible repeats itself, it wants you to get the message across. It wants you to understand, no matter how many times you want to sit here and you want to throw in the towel, don't throw in the towel, because it's going to keep coming back to you. What happened here at the juniper tree at this time when Elijah is so slap wore out? He slept. He awoke. And look at that. The angel had prepared food for him to fill his belly. There was a fire to make sure the food was nice and hot. That would warm him up. There's water there to cool his thirst. But Elijah, he ate. He got warm. He drank. I'm still no better than my father's. I just can't. And he went back to sleep. But the angel was there again. There's more food. Still a nice warm fire. More water to drink. But there was a message this time as well. See, even though he's throwing in the towel, even though he is just, no, I can't do it no more, there's the angel, and there's this message. What's the message? Verse 5. And the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Watch it, church. Here's the message. Because the journey is too great for thee. We were never meant to go alone. Never meant to do this by ourselves. So every time we throw in that towel, what does God do? He takes and brings it right back to us. Wipe your face off with the towel. Get back in the game. Just because Satan's trying to make you vulnerable, just because Satan is beating the snot out of you, does not mean that you quit. Because every time you throw that towel in there, he's going to bring the towel right back to you yet again. When God's done with you, he'll take the towel away and you're done in this life. But until then, you throw that towel out, and he's going to bring it right back yet again. No matter where you are in your life, he's going to make sure that he gets that towel back to you. It don't matter if you're 100 years old or you're 5 years old. It don't matter if you're male or female. It don't matter if you think you've turned your back on him or not. He's bringing the towel right back to you. Because your vulnerable time is when he can do the best work with you. Because at this time here, he has been able to stabilize Elijah. Elijah could not go to Horeb until he was stable. This juniper tree here was a time of triage for him. To get his vitals stabilized. To get him prepped and ready to go in so God can do the necessary surgery for him there on Mount Horeb. So yeah, the enemy is kicking our teeth in right now. And there ain't a one of us who likes it. Some of us know more details than others. But let me tell you something. Every time we throw that towel in there,
God is going to tell us, wipe your face off and get right back out there. Pray for those who are hurting. I'm sure Elijah really wished that somebody was praying for him. That somebody was sitting there saying, God, Elijah needs you right now. God didn't browbeat Elijah for his cowardice. God didn't sit there and start cracking the whip. Elijah, get back out there on the firing line. What are you doing here, son? I called you to be a prophet. Go prophesy. No, he didn't do that. He gave him a chance to stop and rest. Gave him a chance to recoup his strength. Yeah, things may not go our way. Maybe there's going to be a little change in direction. But it doesn't mean what we're going through right now is going to last. That's why it's called faith, church. Not the name of the church, but the actual faith. So we have to operate on faith that God knows what He's doing. And that He will see us all, and I do mean all, through this. It might hurt a little bit. But the surgeon does not intentionally hurt you for the fun of it. The surgeon causes pain so that he can heal you. It's his intention is to make everything all right. You're vulnerable. He's still God. God didn't tell Elijah to fend for himself. He had food ready for him. Even back when the rain stopped falling, God fed him with the ravens. Then He sent him to the widow. Here he is under the juniper tree and there's still food. Praise God, Elijah was a Baptist. He was always eating. Church, sometimes the journey's too great for us. Remember, we were never meant to go it alone. Go with God. That anchor will hold.
Amen.
The temptation's going to be very strong to cut people out. To cut everything out. To say, forget it. Don't fall for the lies of Satan. The temptation's going to be, well, they fall to the side. Oh well, we'll just keep right on marching. No, don't forget them. Pray for them. Let them know you still love them. Let them know you still care. There's a whole lot of people that should be here in attendance today. They're not. Don't sit there and down them because they're not here. Let them know, hey, we still love you. We'd still love to have you come back. If Jesus can come back for us, He can come back for them too. We all go through vulnerable times in our lives. Don't decide to live there by throwing in the towel. Because you know what happens when you throw in the towel? What happens, church? Oh, look at that. Came right back yet again. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. And Father, for the simple sake that this sermon is being broadcast live, we've been withholding names and all that. But we know you know all about the situations, Father, that have been taking place, all of them. And we're asking you, Father, for each and every one of those, that things can be resolved. Feelings fixed. Helped, whatever the case is. That people will see the love of Jesus through us. Whatever difficulties individuals have, And there's certainly a myriad of reasons for all the individuals that are out there right now hurting so bad, and they've thrown in the towel. We're just asking the Father, please, to help them to see. You're standing right there with that exact same towel in your hand that they threw, ready to hand it right back to them, so they can wipe their faces off and get right back out there serving you the way we as your children should be doing. Thank you, Father, for loving us and saving us. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. If you'll please stand.